TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Badlands Podcast, the only podcast out there that is 100% chiselled and is proudly part of the Chairshot Radio Network. I am Mags, and with me today is Mr. Stock Cube himself, Paul Tolley. Paul, how are you?
Feeling good, man. I've got a beautiful podcast wife. Beautiful podcast.
Have you started another podcast?
raring to go. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. It's a late night one for our very illustrious guest. We bend over backwards for our guests on this show. But to be fair, he's one of the best guests we've ever had on this show, and I'm so glad that the guy's back. He's one of the best people on wrestling Twitter, bar none. We've got Mr. Shake and Bake himself, Mark Baker. Mark, welcome back to Badlands.
You two crazy Brits, of course I want to come back. This is like the best show ever. I will fight anyone who says different.
Yeah, what praise? What praise can we get better than that?
A bit taken aback there.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a day for Badlands, really, to be fair, because UTT Rob is kind of pimping us out to Kevin Kelly. Might be, hopefully, fingers crossed, get Kevin Kelly on the show.
Aim high. Aim high.
Shoot,
we might get Gino.
Yeah, well, that'd be like bumming out a little bit, wouldn't it? Be like, look at what you could have won.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think he's funny. I love him.
Yeah. Was Mike our first guest?
I believe you actually was, Mike.
Yes.
Our first actual guest.
Well,
that's
one circle.
Yeah, so this will be the last episode of Badlands we ever record with Mark here coming full circle after this topic as well. I'm not surprised because, it's one of Paul's choices, not a very good topic, to be fair.
Great talk. Don't tell me you didn't enjoy the research.
I did, but I researched that many that it took me a while to write my notes. So, yeah, blame you for that. But, Matt, you've already been on the show, so you can't really add to the Mount Rushmore of greatest wrestlers of all time. So how about you give us a quick Mount Rushmore of who are the greatest wrestlers right now in Mark Baker's world? Who are your stars of wrestling today?
Number one is easy. Every time this guy comes on, every time, every match he's in, he elevates it. It's got to be, in my opinion, the best all-around wrestler in the world, Kazuchika Okada, the Rainmaker himself.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Easy money.
Easy, yep. And is that good that Mr. Tollier changed his Twitter handle to emulate him?
Good, unashamedly.
Yep, great. First pick.
Second pick, after the year he's had last year, it's hard not to put him up there. He killed it every time he was given the opportunity. Memorable feuds, memorable matches. That is the current NXT World Champion, Adam Cole.
Baby. Great pick.
We
spoke about him quite a lot recently on this show. The way he's kind of just been such a star on all three brands, it's been amazing. Every time he's shown up on all three brands, it's super. I mean, even going on to NXT UK this past weekend, he's just an absolute star, and he's got a massive future in the WWE. So, yeah, solid second pick.
Definitely. Do you expect to see him Raw or SmackDown full time by the end of the year?
I think he's going to have to, because they need a boost. And if they bring the whole era up at the same time, whichever show that show's on is going to be automatic watching, because they are, in my opinion, the best pure stable around today. They demand attention everywhere they go. Cole can talk the skin off of a snake. And everyone plays their part so well that Adam could shine on his own, but I think they'll bring all four of them to a brand.
Yeah, I think he works in that kind of sneaky leader role. I think he does well with underlings underneath him. For me, though, I still think that they'll be kind of like a floating group. I think that with NXT being the challenger for AEW, I think they're going to want to keep as many big stars on there as possible, but again, use them for Raw and SmackDown. So I think they're going to float between all three brands, to be fair.
Yeah. I've got an idea. What if like the stables became fluid, so you could have like, you know, two of Undisputed Era still in NXT, two in Raw, but they'd each like help each other out on the other shows.
Yeah, like a cross brand kind of stable.
Yeah, and they could do it, and the Germans can do it. I've completely forgotten their name.
Imperium.
Yeah.
Only two out of the four are actually German, but so the Germans.
Mr. Brexit over here. the Germans.
Wow. No, I think that ad is shit, Paul. After you slagged off my Bray Wyatt versus the Fiend ad here on yesterday's / last week's episode.
Let's ask Mike about this. We were talking about potential feuds of 2020, so you could put any feud together you want as long as they work for the same company, or they're rumored to work for the same company in the future. And Darren chose Bray Wyatt versus The Fiend, but they couldn't actually have a match, obviously, because they're the same person.
Right. Can I explain why I chose that, though? I mean, you can listen. By the time this episode comes out, you can listen back in the archive. But the idea was that whilst The Fiend is a really creative character now, it could easily get very stale if he's doing the same kind of routine over and over again with the feuds. What I wanted to see was the good side, Bray Wyatt, the friendly side, kind of like with a bit of inner conflict against The Fiend side. So instead of that there being an actual match, Bray could cost The Fiend matches by not hitting the finisher or by rolling out of the ring to get out of the match and getting a count out, stuff like that. I wanted to see a bit of inner conflict. I thought that I'd like add another level to that character.
You know, that's honestly a very unique take on that character. Now,
Thank you very much.
Unique isn't always a compliment. I'm thinking about using this show's veto just to say, cut that out of the show. This time, right?
I mean, I had an idea for Matt Hardy once. I mean, what would it be like when they had like the general manager and the constable thing going? How cool would it have been for like big money Matt to be the general manager, but woken Matt to be the constable? You know, with his personality, he could jump back and forth into different roles and have a different personality for the different role. Kind of like what you're going with The Fiend. Like, Oh, this is really bad. Bray Wyatt's going to stop him from doing something super terrible, but The Fiend wants to do something super terrible. Which side's going to win out this time?
Exactly.
Keeps you in a little bit.
Yeah, and it makes sense with the hurt and heel gloves that he wears, which side of his personality is coming out. Yeah, I like that Matt Hardy idea. And he was brought up again last week, with him potentially being the leader of the Dark Order.
I have my own theory about that. The more I listen to the voice, it's kind of left field, but they keep talking about this person in the Elite and that person in the Elite. And what people aren't thinking about is Excalibur knows all those guys. And how wild would it be if he was the leader of the Dark Order? Because the guy who's in charge is very eloquent. And if you listen to the voice a little bit closer, it kind of sounds like Excalibur.
Yeah, I mean, and he does wear a mask.
Exactly.
Interesting. I mean, the way you were talking then as well about it being like they keep mentioning the Elite, it would not surprise me if it was an actual member of the Elite who was the leader. Like it was me, Kenny, all along.
I mean, you could flip anyone from babyface to super heel. I mean, that'd be right up something Cody would pull, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. This has gone off on a tangent because of Paul. So that's my fault, sorry. What's your third pick on your Mount Rushmore of stars that are currently standing out for you?
Why, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Le champion.
Chris Jericho is absolutely on one of the hottest runs of his career. Fight me if anyone says differently. The Inner Circle segments are must see on AEW. He is helping to elevate talent. He is making every single thing that he's involved with gold. So he is definitely on my list right now.
Yeah.
List. See what I say, list, huh?
It's a lexicon, though, not a list. That's bad creative. No, I agree. I think he was the perfect choice to be the first AEW champion. And like I said, he's elevated so many people. I mean, this feud with Moxley, it's so hot. It's unreal.
I'm loving everything that they're doing right now with that feud, because Moxley is the only person who can really, other than Pac, who can talk with Jericho and make it believable. And with the emotion and the energy and the passion, and just like, you know, Moxley's going to get him back, but you just don't know when. And it's just a perfect balance right now. That is a fantastic heavyweight feud, because Moxley's actually getting to do and has the creative freedom to really come up with his own little thing. And Jericho's always Jericho. He's just going to be fantastic on the mic.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, he's got such an underrated man for the business. I mean, I know he gets called the GOAT, but that's mainly because of how he's kind of reinvented himself. But the ideas that the guy has to not only put over him other talent, but just to bring fresh ideas to wrestling, it's just is literally my favorite wrestler of all time.
Hashtag same.
So, round off your Mount Rushmore of current wrestling.
This one's probably going to surprise some people, because I've really sat and thought about it. And it would be wrong to not include a lady, because the women have been so really, really good this year. And I never thought I would say this, but just based on her character work, based how on people looking matches with her, based just on how good she is making anyone look great, I have to have Shayna Baszler on my Mount Rushmore right now, because she has had a fantastic year. Every feud she was in, she made her opponent look like $1 million and elevated them. When she goes to the main roster with Becky and all, that wasn't too big for her. It didn't feel like it was too big for her. It felt like she belonged in that position. And then she went right into NXT and had a banger of a feud with Rhea Ripley. I think Shayna has to be up there.
Yeah, and the fact that she was the winner at the end of Survivor Series just shows just how much respect they've got for her over there in the WWE. I think she's going to be a main card superstar by the time it comes round to Royal Rumble.
She's actually my pick to win.
Yeah, I believe that she'll win. I honestly do believe that she'll win. And I think it'll be her versus Becky at Mania.
That'd be amazing.
I think that'll be when we see the return of Ronda Rousey as well.
Set up for that big horsewoman versus horsewoman feud that everyone is kind of not forgetting about.
Exactly. There's no way Vince McMahon, knowing the mind he's got for money, has not seen that on the table and thought, we are having four horsewomen versus four horsewomen. The only thing holding it back is the fact that the other two MMA horsewomen are pretty crap in the ring.
That's not going to stop him.
We've got
Cain Velasquez coming back, Tyson Fury coming back. I don't think wrestling quality is going to stop him at all.
Exactly. So, Paul, I'm gonna put you to the sword again, like I did with the last episode. Who's your current standout star?
Just one. Dennis Okada. Yeah, Okada's the best. Just the best wrestler in the world. He's the complete package, and just he's everything New Japan is about. I love him. Absolutely love him. And I've been lucky enough to see him live 3 times now, I think. And every time he just steals the show and you can't take your eyes off him.
Has there been any word on a Royal Quest 2 for this year yet?
Not yet, but they've not announced their American shows beyond this month either. Or beyond February. They did put out a tweet after they announced all the Japanese shows saying international news to come. So
yeah.
I think they'll do it again because it was such a success over here.
Yeah, definitely.
If the numbers add up, then they'll definitely come back because it was amazing.
Especially in the fact that it was on a week that was just so hectic with wrestling and for it to still be able to stand out. I think my pick for the best wrestler right now, Max mentioned her. It's not Shayna Baszler. I'm going to go with Rhea Ripley. I think she's had a phenomenal year. Gone from obviously being in the Mae Young Classic to being like this super heel on NXT UK, really lifted that women's division over there and then come over to the Black and Gold brand. Not even really changed the character that much, but is like kind of molded into the best babyface they've got on that brand right now. So, I think Rhea Ripley would get my pick for best wrestler right now.
Yeah. Can she glow in the dark, though?
I don't know. We could ask our friend Josh.
Good pick. She's, certainly the back end of this year, she absolutely exploded. And she just, I know you're going to hate me putting her in the same bracket, but I think it's a compliment.
Charlotte Flair.
She looks like Charlotte Flair in that she just looks like she belongs in the center of the ring.
Yeah.
There's not many people you look at and they just look like superstars.
Yeah, they belong.
Yeah.
I get what you mean. Even though the comparison is a bit erroneous. So let's get into this main topic. Sorry about this, Mark. This was not my choice. It was Mr. Tully's here, but we have got the Mount Rushmore of wrestling's power couple. So I took that to mean people who are in relationships, whether that's real or kayfabe or whatever, and they have a significant power in the world of wrestling. So who have you gone for first for your first pick, Matt?
Well, I really researched this and I went back and forth between someone, but I think like the first real time where you saw a woman and a man being held kind of in equal, where one wasn't separate without the other. And it was back with Tully Blanchard and Baby Doll.
Mm-hmm. Going back in the day.
They just worked so well together, and she just added so much to his character. Like, you already wanted to hate him. Then she's there with that sneering look, and she's cheating her butt off for him. And it was just like, you know what? I really can't stand these two. And when they're together, I hate them even more. They got so much heat just being together that you wanted to see both of them, not just one, but both of them get their comeuppance. And that to me is a real power couple. Whenever both people can generate the strong reactions like that. So they started to me the whole, cheating heel. I mean, like, there'd be no Zelina Vega without her. There'd be no Lana without her. She set the precedent for that conniving, underhanded partner, not valet, but partner / manager for a heel.
Yeah, I agree. From what I remember of the two together, she really, really did add to his kind of character, almost kind of like she was the yin and yang of his character. And I think her being like aligned with him was was, yeah, was it just added something that wasn't really around in them days. So, yeah, I really respect that pick. Paul, I believe it's you to go first this week.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go for the simple one. Well, I guess there's one more obvious than this, but I'll go for kind of the two that are on the current board of the biggest wrestling company in the world, playing a massive part in shaping their future. It has to be Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. Like, researching this just made me feel really old, because I can't believe on screen they've been married for 20 years.
Mental, isn't it?
Where'd those 20 years gone? And that's when, 20 years ago, it began at that infamous drive-through in Las Vegas with Stephanie drugged in the passenger seat, although it turned out later she wasn't drugged at all. She was in on it. And since then, both on screen and off screen, they've just grown and grown in importance in the company. Again, it was the turn of the millennium that you had the McMahon-Helmsley era, as they were calling it. And that's kind of, looking back, that was quite a prophetic moment, I guess, because on screen, they were in charge of everything there. And now 20 years later, they're primed to be the driving force for the next, what, quarter of a century, maybe more, mm-hmm. however long people are going to live in the future. So you can't not pick Triple H and Stephanie. You know, they had a tumultuous early marriage on screen. And again, I didn't realize this, but they were divorced on screen before they were married in real life. They went through the love triangle with Kurt Angle, which was quite entertaining. And then Stephanie McMahon faked her own pregnancy in order to get Triple H to renew their vows, and they divorced. And that was still 2 years before they were married kind of in real life. And like I said, they've now been married in reality for 17 years. They look like a really strong couple kind of off screen when you see them at official WWE business and stuff like that. And, you know, Triple H is doing amazing things with NXT. And really proving that he's got the vision for WWE in the future. And I think Stephanie McMahon has got what it takes. She's currently what's her current role? The brand officer or some chief brand officer?
Yeah, chief brand officer. And then she's also she runs Connor's Cure as well.
Yeah. And I think, you know, she's had slip ups, but who doesn't? I think she has got. I think she has got a talent for branding WWE, and I think together they're going to be a formidable force going forward. And like it or not, you know, they've got the resources. They've got Stephanie's marketing brain. They've got Triple H's brain for the business and his recruitment policy, which is ruthless. You know, if they get things right over the next 20 years, they're gonna. Unfortunately, dominate the landscape again. I think the world of wrestling is theirs to lose. So in that respect, they are the ultimate power couple right here and now.
Yeah, it was one of my five picks. I have no problem with that being on our Mount Rushmore at all. Looking back at when Triple H was in his prime, you would have never have pictured him as being basically the next person to take over from WWE. Looking at the likes of The Rock and Stone Cold, Undertaker around that era, you would never put him as he would end up being the number two guy in the company, and being primed to be the head of the whole company. So he's kind of really maneuvered his way to the top. And yeah, like I said, it's their wrestling world to lose, definitely.
I absolutely agree with you. It's amazing how he's now so important in the company, and how his character's changed. But I guess along the line, he was quite ruthless. We also already talked about Chris Jericho tonight. There's a lot of stories about how he undermined and put Chris Jericho down over his career and stopped Chris Jericho being as even bigger, if that's believable at all. But then it's also easy to forget just how good Triple H was in his wrestling career. I think the fact he married into the McMahon family and he's got and he's inherited this power, I think sometimes overshadows the fact that he was really bloody good. And even when he has big matches now at WrestleMania, he's still really bloody good.
Unless it's facing Dave Batista.
I didn't mind that match. But no, it wasn't one of his greatest. But like his match against Seth Rollins was brilliant.
Solid pick. It's not going to incur a veto. That's absolutely fine. Mark, back to you, my friend.
Well, for starters, you took one of my picks, so you stink.
I had to get out early.
Clearly, they have to be on there, whether anyone agrees with it or not. Yeah. This next one, just because of that, I'm going to go way into left field. And you'll have to hear me out on it. For me, a power couple sometimes needs to be three things. They need to be smart. They need to look great on TV. And they need to be entertaining. For me, it's crazy as it sounds, but I loved these two together. I thought they were perfect. They were just everything that I enjoyed when WWF felt like it could go a little camp. And that was King Booker and Queen Charmel.
Interesting.
Nice choice.
Yeah, not even on my radar at all. But yeah, I can see the reasoning behind it.
She added so much to his character where it was just like he went, in his mind, he was a king. Just that whole British accent, the pinky, the whole nine yards. And it was just brilliant, fun, ridiculous TV. And she was so important to him that I remember in the ladder match at WrestleMania, Matt Hardy had her, was fixing to give her the twist of fate. And they were so important to each other. He got down off the ladder to stop him when he could have just went up there. He was the only one on the ladder. So that's, to me, a very important aspect, because he felt like he couldn't compete, would be complete without her. So that's an important aspect of a power couple, because she was this other half that was just as equal in his mind as him. And they played off being a real life husband and wife. They played off each other well. And it was just fun to watch. I always enjoyed when they were on TV.
I think King Booker was my favorite ever King of the Ring, like King.
Yeah, he was brilliant. Yeah. That was an amazing point you brought up there as well about when Booker T came down off the ladder and actually, to protect Charmel. You don't see that enough, I think, particularly in those relationships where you've got you've got a male wrestler and a female wife or partner or valet or whatever. You don't see the help and the compassion flowing the other way. It's always the valet or the manager or the girlfriend, wife, etc., helping out the wrestler. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Again, going back to Triple H, you saw Triple H do it with when Stephanie was managing Kurt Angle, and she took a rock bottom, and Triple H came out and he attacked Kurt Angle because he just blamed him for her getting hurt. And again, it brings that human kind of side into these characters. It's great.
Yeah, man, agreed. Great pick. Absolutely great pick. Now, let's go down my list. I don't know whether to go with the big gun first or go with a kind of a bit of an outsider. I'm going to go middle of the road. I think I'm going to go with one I don't think Paul will veto, but it's not my top pick. I'm going to go with Brandy and Cody Rhodes. I think
dirty British man.
Is that one another pick? And you know what? Then I'm actually going to go left field, and I will save that pick for you unless Paul's going to.
Take it. It's yours.
No, you've made me change my mind now, Mark. You've made me change my mind. You've made me change my mind that much. I'm actually going to go for the most out there pick I've got on my list, and I don't think any of you will have it.
Him, if you don't veto him and make him go Cody and Brandy. If you
I'm actually going to go with Conrad Thompson and Megan Flair.
I don't even know who Megan Flair is.
The clue might be in the name.
Clearly.
Yeah. You're going to have to sell this one to us.
Yeah, I'll read off what I've wrote, but you're probably going to veto straight away. Whilst they're not a power couple, obviously, in the traditional sense of wrestling power couples, neither have actually been wrestlers. What did you say they're back? It was quite...
Conrad the podcasting guy.
Conrad the podcasting guy, yeah.
Paul. Paul, get the stamp out now.
I'm gonna let all the hot air out, and then don't worry, I'll be vetoing.
This guy might give us a job, Paul. So just remember that Conrad Thompson is the Podfather.
Sell it to me, man.
I'm gonna attempt to sell it. Like I said, they're not a power couple in the traditional sense of being a power couple. Neither of them have been wrestlers or particularly on screen talent. But I think in this age of like digital media, I'm going to put forward Conrad and Megan as a power couple. I'm going to rule out Megan's part in this pretty early because she's not really shown any kind of inclination of wanting to be in the wrestling business. And the only reason she's got a link is obviously through the family name with her dad, Ric Flair, being one of the best to ever be a wrestler. And
that's how Charlotte started, though. She didn't want no part of it.
Exactly. And then obviously, like you just said, Charlotte, she's well on her way to eclipsing every record that her father's ever held. And she's, no matter my feelings towards Tully's stan of her, she's one of the best wrestlers in the world, regardless of gender. I do believe that Conrad is quite sneakily a bit of a power guy in this business. He obviously started as a mortgage broker and a massive lifelong wrestling fan. And he actually got his start in podcasting when he spoke with Shane Douglas from ECW. And through that meeting, he got to meet Jim Cornette. And he actually offered Jim Cornette $1,500 to come to his house to tell him some wrestling stories. And then this led to more meetings and more interviews with other wrestlers. And when CBS offered Ric Flair a contract for a podcast, Ric Flair actually contacted Conrad and said, would he be the co-host? And I think they started a podcast called Woo Nation. But Rick being Rick, he got bored of the podcasting world very, very easily. So Conrad moved on to something to wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Bruce obviously being Vince's right-hand man, well, former right-hand man at the time. And they obviously do a podcast about different topics every week, usually about a wrestler or a pay-per-view or a certain angle. It's the biggest wrestling podcast in the world, bar none. And Conrad's obviously then branched out to podcast with other wrestling icons, Tony Schiavone, Bischoff, and I think his new one is with Arn Anderson. And to be quite honest, working with Conrad has actually got Bruce, Eric and Tony back into the wrestling business in some way, shape or form. And obviously he's diversified now into conventions with Starcast. Starcast obviously has followed AEW round, and whilst they've been denials of an actual link between the two, it's quite clear that their friendship kind of with Cody has kind of led to this convention. But it's a massive, massive thing, and the guy is doing absolutely brilliant business in wrestling. And I think whilst he's not ever been in the wrestling business, like physically, I think he is a big, big power person in this business. And the fact that he's married to a Flair, it kind of makes them a power couple. And now Vito.
They're a power couple by the loosest definition. That was very much singing the praises of Conrad Thompson.
Hire me, Conrad. I'm looking for a new co-host.
I mean, I'll come along. I'll come along for the ride, obviously, Conrad, if you are listening. But you're not making this Mount Rushmore in this capacity, I'm afraid. That's a veto. And I'm going to veto. I'm going to replace with the man and her man, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch.
Ooh.
Reason I'm going to put Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch on is, again, a bit of a future-facing one. I think, along with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, they're going to be massively influential on the success or otherwise of WWE going forward. To explain that, I think the launch of AEW is great, and kind of you've got all these streaming services, so more people can watch New Japan now and basically any indie company they want. But the problem I think the wrestling industry has and still has is new customers, new viewers. I think all these companies are still just sharing the same pie, and actually most of us are just watching the same people who always watch wrestling. We're just watching more of it and watching all the different companies, which is great. That's really still really cool. But we need more fresh blood to come in and replace us as viewers when we all, you know, slip off our mortal coil. grim and depressing. And I do think Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch could be the power couple to make that happen. I think, like, you know, over here, I don't know if it's the same in America, but in England, we're always looking for, like, the next Posh and Becks. And when like, two very famous people get married, oh, they could be the next Posh and Becks of football, or next Posh and Becks of pop music, or whatever. I think Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins are the Posh and Becks of wrestling. And the reason I say that, I don't think there's ever been a power couple where in wrestling where both entities are bringing, like, equal value to the table. Like, Becky Lynch was massive and Seth Rollins was massive when they got together. It's not like one of them is, it's not like, say, a John Cena and a whatever Bella he was with, where John Cena's like the best in the world and she's a Bella. No offense. So I think they both got, like, immense value on their own, and then kind of you just got the synergy of them coming together. It could be pretty powerful. And you know WWE love this stuff. They love total Bellas and they love Mr. and Mrs. and all that crap. So you just know when Becky and Seth tie the knot, they're going to make a massive deal and have shoot off documentaries and crossover appeal and all that. You know, they're both youngish, they're both beautiful, they're both very talented, and I think they are really important in WWE's future.
I have no problem with that veto. I mean, it's not like if I could do anything about it. To be honest, though, I think you've missed a little trick there, Paul. You're just not political enough yet. That was your opportunity to get Charlotte Flair and Andrade on this Mount Rushmore.
They're not there yet. They're not yet. And like I said, Becky and Seth are bringing equal amounts to the table. You know, Charlotte is, you know, best in the world. Andrade is kind of like, yeah, he's good, you know, but...
Fair play.
I'm just going to piss off all our listeners.
Matt, what do you think about Seth and Becca?
It's a very valid point, and it's hard to argue that they're both at the same level right now, but I feel like there's a change in trajectory with both of them, kind of. I feel like with the heel turn for Seth is starting to skyrocket a little bit. Mm-hmm. And honestly, Becky sometimes gets a little stale. She's fantastic, but she needs someone to push her creatively, because sometimes she falls into the, I'm the man. That's great. I understand that. But show me the reason why you're the man. I mean, you got somebody spitting green stuff in your face, and you know, if that's what it's got to take to get you going, that's fantastic. I just feel sometimes, you know, she needs someone like a Shayna Baszler. She needs someone who can come in there and match her tone for tone. That's why her feud with Charlotte is so good, because Charlotte can hold on her own on the mic with her. We know Charlotte can go with her. Some of these girls, that's the issue, is that after the top level on the women's division on main roster WWE, it's a significant drop. Significant. which is why I think it's time, like, for some of these NXT girls to come up who can help out, like Shayna, even a Candace, just someone who can perform in the ring to push Becky, because sometimes Becky gets a little stale.
Yeah, I think you make a very, very valid point. That's one thing that the main roster has struggled with, is building up people to get onto that level. I mean, they tried it with Lacey and it kind of flopped. They had an absolute superstar in Asuka and another one in Kairi Sane, and they've both kind of dwindled down. Again, they're not really building anyone to reach that four horsewoman level. Yeah. And I think if they brought in quite a few of those women from NXT who can not only match the force women in the ring, but can also match them on the mark, I think that would elevate that main roster women's division. But then it would also decimate the NXT one, which makes it even more interesting, the fact that they've signed guys, people like Shotzi Blackheart and Mercedes Martinez. It's kind of like they're preparing for that move of women to go over to the main roster.
Absolutely. And I mean, even though no one's talking about her now, I mean, you got Scarlett Boudreaux hanging around there.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone who we haven't even seen yet, but she's definitely different from them. But from what I've seen of her, when she wants to go, she can go. She's not bad in the ring. I mean, her whole thing is she's stunningly beautiful, and she is. But I've seen her in some of the matches where she's been in Mexico, and she can wrestle. Don't get it wrong. She can go.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they're allowing Dakota Kai to kind of spread her wings in terms of her character, because she's another one who, in the ring, she's phenomenal, but she just struggled with that kind of do-good character, and allowing her to like switch it up has made her another legitimate contender on that brand. So, yeah, I think the future's bright for the women's division. And going back to Paul's pick, I think Seth and Becky are primed to be a very, very powerful couple in wrestling. So, yeah, I have no problems with that. I think Comrade Thompson might have a problem with it, but bye-bye, podcast money. It was nice knowing you.
Yeah, by the time this is out, we would have done a whole series with Kevin Kelly, and we'll be made without Conrad.
Yeah, exactly. So, Mark, let's go back to you for your third pick on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling power couples.
I'm a man of exceedingly high moral fiber and character. I will not take the one that you did with Cody and Brandy, even though that was on my list.
You may use it, because I've my other one, I'm definitely not bringing that up unless I veto Paul.
For me, though, a very interesting couple that no one's talking about is a cross-promotional couple that I think ain't getting a whole lot of respect, but they are very, very powerful. I'm talking about Jon Moxley and Renee Young.
Mm-hmm. Big shout.
I think those two are absolutely a power couple, because when you think about one, the other is always there. They're never not around each other.
Yep, I agree. I saw pictures and video of her when it was at Wrestle Kingdom, and she was, I think she was with Session Moff.
And here's the interesting part about that. Not only was she there, she had full access. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she had a family badge, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. She was backstage in a place where traditionally not only females aren't allowed, but Western females aren't allowed. And she was given full access to that whole setup, which goes against a lot of what New Japan does normally as far as that kind of access for people. But she's on a major cable network here in the States. She's the host of that show. She had CM Punk on the show. Everyone freaked out about that. And if you notice, he only really acknowledged her on that show when it was over. He went to her specifically and gave her a hug. The rest of them, you know, like, he knew them all already, but he specifically went to her. And they haven't been afraid to acknowledge each other on each other's brand. Everyone knows they're together. but nobody's saying anything about it. To me, that's power when you're like, you know what? My wife works for this other brand, but you will acknowledge her. Mm-hmm. My husband works for this other brand and you will acknowledge him. That's power. They haven't had to change any parameters on their relationship. They're allowed to do whatever they want with each other and go wherever they want with each other. So they've got the power because, I mean, nobody's telling, hey, you can't talk about him or you can't talk about her.
Again, it's a so it's a couple that I kind of like dismissed when I was researching, but you make absolutely valid points. I mean, he's come away from a situation where he was clearly unhappy with wrestling in general, and now he's one of the most exciting wrestlers in the world, and potentially going to be champion in two different companies at the same time. And when he left, the WWE kind of have a history of like punishing the people who stay, and there was always going to be that chance that she kind of got the shitty end of the stick. But she must have so much respect in that company. I mean, she's, like I said, she's on national TV for the company, and they absolutely love her.
Here's the thing about her is she didn't get the shitty end of the stick. She actually got elevated after he left.
Yeah, exactly.
A position of power most people don't think about, because she got put in that spot where Fox wanted her to do that show. And they're like, okay, cool. I mean, she went and called in the after he was gone in their big pay-per-views in the Middle East, that nonsense they do over there. She still went over there and called some matches.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. I really do like that pick. Like I said, it was one I kind of dismissed, but yeah, I respect that pick.
Really good pick. A beautiful son as well. They got a really beautiful son.
They are a great power couple, and they. Another one, kind of like Seth and Becky, where you can see them having more power the further they go on in their wrestling careers.
Definitely.
Let's go to you, Paul, for the pick that I'm probably going to veto.
Okay. Well, this one, again, it was one of these ones where it proves to me exactly why I love this podcast. Number one thing I love about this podcast is we're always really positive. But second is when you find yourself just going down a Wikipedia wormhole. And you end up looking at stuff you never even considered at all. And I don't really know much about, but it's so interesting a story that you've got to bring it to the table. And is that Mike?
Oh, Paul, left field Tunney's fixing to strike again.
Yeah. So this wasn't in my mind at all until I came to research it. I've gone for the Giant Baba and Motoko Baba, his wife. So, Giant Baba, as we know, one of the most famous Japanese wrestlers of all time. Let me tell you the story first. He's just shone Vito at me. I didn't even shine Vito at him. Mainly because I don't know how to do it, but
Vito too.
I'll let him finish. Right.
Dream Vito, the dream has no memory of the conversation.
6'10", just a genuine giant. He was an NWA International Heavyweight Champion whilst he was at Japan Wrestling Association, JWA, and he was handpicked as the successor to the, you know, greatest ever Japanese wrestler. He was Korean, in fact, but wrestler in Japan, the great Riki Dozan. However, in 1972, he turned down that opportunity to be the next big thing in Japan Wrestling Association. And both he and Antonio Inoki both left that company to set up rival companies. Inoki obviously setting up New Japan Professional Wrestling and Baba setting up All Japan Professional Wrestling, both in the same year. Now, New Japan Wrestling focused on kind of a more traditional Japanese isolationist view of just promoting Japanese talent and Japanese versus Japanese matches. But Baba and his wife thought they'd go for the kind of booking that had made Riki Dozan so popular and had been really popular in America with Bruno Sammartino, etc. And that is bringing in a big foreign challenger, a big foreign heel, and having the national hero defeat the foreigner time and again. And this proved really popular with the Japanese audience, and it made All Japan Professional Wrestling the number one company in Japan. They brought in the likes of Mil Máscaras, Terry and Dory Funk, Stan Hansen for real massive matches, and they sold out 200 shows in Tokyo in a row in the early 90s, which is phenomenal. And then they obviously went on in the 90s to be the home of the four pillars of heaven, as they called, which many people regard as one of the greatest eras of professional wrestling, if not the greatest. Now, for a long time, it was just viewed that the great Baba, Giant Baba, was in charge of All Japan on his own. And his marriage, in fact, was kept a secret because he was a national hero, and, you know, like pop stars today, they wanted to appear to be available and a bit of a lad, you know what I mean? Also, they got married, they got together quite young, so they wanted to keep it secret. And perhaps because, you know, Japan was quite a patriarchal society at the time, it wouldn't have looked very strong for it to be acknowledged that a woman was also running All Japan Professional Wrestling. But she was. And over time, it was acknowledged that she was the number two owner of All Japan Professional Wrestling and was very hands-on with the running of it whilst it was the biggest promotion in Japan and actually generating a lot of interest abroad as well. And I was reading that she used to play the bad cop. So the Giant Baba could always be popular with the lads and keep control of the locker room. She would deliver the bad news to wrestlers, and she would, if they needed to be unpopular as a management team, she would do it so he could maintain kind of his image. They had no kids together, and it was said that they nurtured the All Japan roster as their children, and this contributed to nurturing the four pillars themselves. They felt part of the All Japan literal family. And it was only when Giant Baba passed away that Misawa became chairman or president of All Japan alongside Baba's wife, that All Japan went south and lost its footing as number one company to New Japan Professional Wrestling. So for that, well, over 25 year period, he and her were the ultimate power couple in Japanese professional wrestling. And Dave Meltzer's said to call her the arguably the most important and influential woman in the history of pro wrestling. And obviously Giant Baba's a legend. So I think together they are a power couple that I'd never considered or even knew of this story until this week.
Wow. I'm actually not going to veto it, Paul.
Yes.
Whilst I didn't know a lot about the relationship that they had, I do think that All Japan versus New Japan wouldn't have the New Japan that we have now if it wasn't for that kind of split and that kind of the kind of battle between the companies. So I think what happened was very important, and it's more important than what I would have vetoed it for. So yeah, I'm going to leave that on. Great research there as well.
Thank you. And if anyone wants to, any Japanese experts want to tweet to correct any of those facts, feel free. I've only researched it this week. It'd be great to hear kind of any corrections or any further information on that. It'd be great.
Yep. So yeah, it survives. Mark, over to you. Finish your Mount Rushmore of power couples off.
Like I said, I refuse, because you better put Cody and Brandy on there like you already did.
I've got another pick above him.
If you have another pick above them, then I'm struggling, because my last pairing is awesome, but it would almost be absurd not to have them on there because of just the immediate impact they've had in the last year. I mean, granted, they're kind of a, you know, now that I think about it, I think they still need to prove themselves a little bit longer. I mean, it's impressive what they've done, but a true power couple stands the test of time. Mm-hmm. So even though it burns my soul, I'm not going to put them on there. Because if these two aren't on here, it's a shame. Because they had a run unlike any other that I can remember. And when you think about these two, they are synonymous together. And that is the Rated R Superstar, Edge and Lita.
And Lita? Hmm. I mean, I've got Edge as one of mine, but I've actually gone for Edge and Beth Phoenix.
That's what I thought about that, but honestly, that's more of a behind the scenes kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they definitely are a power couple, but for a while, Edge and Lita had both the big belts and they were running WWE by themselves. Mm-hmm. There was no, every once in a while, someone else would come in, but they completely flipped that whole show on its head. Because they pushed the boundaries this way and pushed the boundaries that way. Whenever Edge and Lita were on the TV, they demanded your attention. They helped elevate feuds. I mean, where would John Cena be without having to fight off Edge and Lita? Where would some of these other people be? They were absolutely a crucial part of kind of a downtime in WWE at the time, because I mean, honestly, outside of those two and Cena, it was kind of bland, and they definitely would help with that wow moment. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, did you see what they did? I mean, these people are fixed to have sex on the TV in front of us, in front of God, Jesus, and everybody. And you know what? It was one of the highest rated segments in Raw history.
Yeah. Like I said, I had Edge. But I did have him with Beth Phoenix. It's interesting that Edge is still the record breaker for the most decorated person in WWE history. Yes, solid pick.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's won. Let me just get the figures up. He's won the WWE title 4 times, the World Heavyweight Championship 7 times, the RC title 5 times, and he's 12 times tag team champion, which that is a record in itself. So yeah, altogether, he's the most decorated wrestler. I mean, taking out like titles like the 24/7 and the Hardcore title, where they were like won 50 times in a night. But legitimate titles, yeah, he's the record holder.
I didn't know that at all. That's really interesting.
Yeah, the only concern I would have with Edge and Lita is the fact that they were only together for such a short time. Whilst they did have a big impact, it was a very, very short run for me to consider them two as a power couple. But this is your list, and I don't have the authority to veto yours. So, yeah, great pick.
Granted, yeah, but if, think about the backstory with all that, too. I mean, he had a red-hot feud with Matt Hardy over something real. I mean, it was a real-life situation that made it even that more, like, compelling to me, because I'm like, you know what? These two really probably don't like each other. And she's with him now, and then I really struggled to go back and forth between him and Beth, but I went with the impact for me. And sometimes a power couple may not be around long, but they have such an impact where you can't forget about them. And that's the real drawing power to me of a true power couple. Like, some of them may not be around, you know, but if it was the longest, then yeah, they wouldn't be on there. But for the time they were together, there was not a more powerful couple than those two for that run.
I get the reasoning, and it makes absolute sense. The reason I went for Beth was obviously because they were a real life couple, and she's come back into wrestling. Obviously, she's a Hall of Famer, but she's now a commentator. She commentated on, I think, the Mixed Match Challenge. obviously Evolution, the Mae Young Classic, and now she's on NXT. So she's kind of like climbing up that kind of ranking in within WWE. And obviously then there's talk of Edge possibly coming back from retirement and being a wrestler again. And if that happens, I think it kind of would strengthen them two as a legitimate power couple.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd argue Lita's had that impact twice. I think Lita and Matt Hardy were a massively influential power mm-hmm. couple. The Team Extreme really changed things again, alongside Edge as well. Funnily enough, it's easy to forget how much they shook things up, and even stuff with you had hints of intergender stuff going on there with Lita mixing it up with Edge and Christian and the Dudleys, and we all know how influential TLC and TLC 2 were. So
yeah,
Lita's been massively influential for her career.
Yes, I think she's been criminally underrated as influential. Definitely. Because a lot of the females I have on Why We Watch have said that Lita was a big influence on them at the time because of how real she was, how real of a character she was.
She's never been picked for our overall Mount Rushmore. That surprises me.
Yeah, that is very, very surprising. So let's see if I can round off our Mount Rushmore, Paul. I should by rights go with Brandy and Cordy because I did mention them. But then going along with something that Mark said about how whilst they've done amazing things over this last year, and even going into Cordy's career, I mean, he kind of did live in the shadow of his legacy for a long, long while. He struggled to get over that mid-card in the WWE. I'm not going to pick them because, like I said, I did have someone who I was saving as my main pick. And if we didn't mention these two, it would make a mockery of any power couple list in wrestling. And it's Vince and Linda McMahon.
Yeah. Yep.
It had to be. In wrestling, you can't name someone as powerful as Vince McMahon. He's the majority owner, the chairman and CEO of the biggest juggernaut that's ever been in professional wrestling. He's got an estimated personal value of $3.2 billion. That's $3.2 billion. That is absolutely mental. He's took the WWE from a brand that he bought off his dad for $1 million to now being valued at $5.7 billion. And they get revenue of around $3 million every quarter. I mean, and people saying that WWE are dying and AEW are coming to kill them. Until you're making $300 million a quarter, you're not touching this company. And the thing with Vince is behind him, he's obviously this great man. He's got to have this great woman behind him. And Linda was definitely the kind of foil for Vince. They set up Tartan Sports, which ended up being WWE in 1980, I believe. Vince and Linda both kind of served on the board of that company for almost 30 years. And the only reason she ended up leaving was because she wanted to get into politics. A couple of unsuccessful bids to be a senator for Connecticut, but she did eventually end up making her way into politics with Donald Trump's Small Business Administration. But I think she's left that post now and she's set up what they call a super PAC, which is like a political action committee called America First Action, which is kind of a pro-Trump super PAC. But she is also amassed a fortune of $1.3 billion. So these, if we were to put these on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling power couples, then it wouldn't be a Mount Rushmore because between them, they're worth almost $5 billion. So, yeah, my pick is Vince and Linda McMahon.
Yeah, you saved us from embarrassment there. I got to be honest. That's a... you can't leave them off, can you?
I'm not picking them. I'm putting Brandy and
Cody. Of course they were on my list. I was like, are they going to pick them? Somebody pick them. Goodbye. Man, obvious. Like, hello.
You would have had to use a veto, Matt. You would have had to have been the first guest to veto one of our picks.
The Baba one, you know, if I was struggling, but you know what? The fact that Paul kind of gerrymandered around and finally got to it, I was like, you know what? That poor guy put all that effort into that. He's got notes. He looks like a guy in a notebook. Oh. Look about it.
I come with a full story about Comrade Thompson, but no, that gets shot down in flames. But Paul comes up with this ridiculous tale about a woman running wrestling in Japan. How dare he?
Did you see his face, Tom? The whole time that I was talking about, he just had this poor look on his face like, please don't veto me. I'm reading all this stuff. Don't do it. Please don't.
I live for that. I live for watching him fluster. It's the best part of the podcast for me when Paul gets so angry that his face goes red and you can see him just flustering.
He got a little Trump there for a minute because he's kind of like catching his breath. He was thinking like, do I go on? You know what? They're not saying nothing yet. Let's go.
So, I thought once I got the notebook out, you were definitely vetoing.
No,
I just out of spite.
When Paul starts researching and stuff like that, it's always going to be an interesting story. So, yeah, definitely wouldn't have vetoed it. I still remember the bear story, Paul, and how deeply involved you got into that story.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of, the terrible tale. I love getting down these wormholes and finding just loads of weird stuff out. I actually think it was Jim Smallman's book, actually, that started me off on that one. I remember something in the back of my head remembered reading about it. And then just Googled, but I couldn't remember what it was. I just remember it was something in Japan, so I had to Google Japanese women running wrestling. Could have taken down a whole different wormhole.
Yep, so we've mentioned both my honourable mentions. Like I said, I had 5 picks. I obviously had Brandon, Cody Rhodes, who I took off because I'm just an arsehole. And then I had Edge and Beth Phoenix.
All mine came up. Obviously had Vince and Linda on there. I was considering Cody and Brandy. I mean, just going back to Vince and Linda, like you said, they set up the company in 1980. It's 40 years ago.
It's mental. And it's still the head honcho.
Any wrestling company existed for 40 years. And it like as you say, it's bigger than ever.
Yeah,
financially, exactly. At least.
Exactly.
I had a few more.
Take the wheel, Mac.
All right. One of them that I had was Jimmy Garvin and Precious from way back in the day. They really were like the first time to really be like this obnoxious couple on screen. Then I have one in the making that I think if it pans out, they're definitely going to be a power couple, but they're in that Moxley, Renee Young vein, and that's Adam Cole and Britt Baker.
Yeah, they're another one I was considering.
They're not there yet, but they could be. Then, of course, I mean, there's also Johnny and Candace, I mean, NXT's first family, basically. There's some up and coming, but as far as like that you could consider a power couple now, I think those were going to be it. But there are some ones that are upcoming. I mean, like Casey Catanzaro and Ricochet. That's one people don't know about. They got potential because Casey is criminally underappreciated as far as athleticism in the ring. They're a perfect match. A lot more out there than people think.
Definitely. I think you'd have to throw the Aldises in there as well. Nick Aldis is massively influential in bringing NWA to where it is now. And Mickey James Aldis is apparently making moves backstage at WWE as well and getting involved in the Performance Center and really influencing the next batch of women coming through. So they both hold pretty powerful positions.
Yeah, the only other one I was considering, and I don't even really understand why I didn't follow it through, was Macho Man and Elizabeth. I think at the time, Elizabeth was was on par with Hogan as the most popular person in the WWE, and obviously Macho Man is a legend in his own right. So they were the quintessential power couple at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
So, yeah, great.
Right, Darren.
There.
Darren.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Admit that was a good category. That was a good category.
Yeah, I enjoy when I have to do some research. It was a good category. I like the ones where when we bring up the category, I can instantly come up with who I would kind of go with, and then I can kind of expand on it when I'm doing the research. And that was exactly that kind of category. I knew straight away who my two or three main picks would be. And then when you think about it, there's so many more picks that we could have had, and it was interesting going and researching them. So, yeah, I bow to you, Paul. That was a very good pick of a category.
Graciously accept your bow.
So, Mark, we need you to do something now. We need you to pick a topic for a future guest. Paul here is going to give you a pick, and then I'm going to give you a pick, and you just pick which one you prefer. So, Paul, take the wheel, mate.
Okay. As we know, it is, as we record this anyways, it's Royal Rumble season. Royal Rumble, probably the most renowned.
You've lambasted my Royal Rumble picks over the last couple of weeks.
You don't know where I'm going with this yet.
That's true. Matt Rushmore, greatest Royal Rumbles.
No. Royal Rumble, probably the most famous of kind of the big non-title matches. So what I want is a Mount Rushmore of greatest ever non-title matches.
So that's any match
has ever been contested that wasn't for a title.
Interesting. Yeah, that's going to be a hard one to research because there's so much choice.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of choice.
Interesting. I'm going to go with a topic that's kind of more narrow than that one. It's not going to have as many different choices as Paul's. And it's not even Royal Rumble related, to be fair. And I don't even know why this topic came into my head. It just was something that I thought, oh, that'd be an interesting topic to have. So I've no rhyme or reason to pick this topic. But
that's what happens to me most weeks.
But I would like to hear the Mount Rushmore of food and drink in wrestling.
Well, that's obviously a strong category. We love to talk about food and drink.
Exactly. It were probably you eating stock cubes, so that could be one of the picks.
Do I count as a wrestling personality?
So, what say you, Mr. Baker? Which one of those two picks kind of interest you the most?
They're both very different and very unique. But since I'm feeling brave, I'm going to veto both of you.
Oh, wow.
I think it's been done once before, and you obviously...
Here's my topic that I think would be very interesting, cause a very lot of debate. I don't know if it's been done yet or not, but I'm curious to what you guys' Mount Rushmore of men who have never held the world championship in any promotion.
In any promotion?
Well, it's been... I'm sure there's that many wrestlers, though. I've got a feeling that we may have kind of touched on it.
I think we've never been WWE champion.
Yeah, so
this makes it even narrower. So this is I like it.
Never been champion. So you're saying men or just anybody?
It's your Mount Rushmore, whatever you want to put on there.
Yeah, that's a very, very interesting pick. And it feels weird being vetoed on your topic picks, Paul. I'm feeling unnerved.
Yeah, it's very unsettling, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's a very interesting topic.
Where do we draw the line? Because obviously you have, like, companies wrestling in front of 20 people and they call their title the world title.
Okay. Any of the recognized big promotions will go WWE, New Japan, anyone that is a recognized promotion that is common knowledge of wrestling fans.
Yeah, we get it. Yeah, that's very, very interesting. Yeah. Again, it's another one of those topics where I've got people who've instantly come to mind, but I'm sure there's going to be like better picks out there. So, yeah, I can't wait to research that one. Thank you very much for that, Matt.
Good choice.
Yeah, so, Matt, tell all the Badlands listeners where they can get hold of you for your wacky Mount Rushmore topics.
Well, you're not going to find me eating bouillon cubes.
You've got to give it a try. It's only half a cube.
That is a heart attack and a half shell, my friend, and I'm not about that life.
Fair enough. I'm
the Baker Show 73 on the old Twitter machine, and I pop in a few times a day to see what kind of ruckus or chaos or kind of bizarre things are going on. And oh, trust me, it's always an adventure when you log onto the old wrestling Twitter here lately.
Yeah, you tell me about it.
Between the new alliances forming to stop the people from doing exactly what they're doing, between the AEW and WWE. Sometimes I log on there and I just cry from laughter. I'm like, you realize that nobody has any idea who you are.
What gets me, though, is these people are adults that do this.
I watch.
Paul, come on, mate. It's time for that go-home. Round this episode off. Don't fluster.
I'm not going to fluster. I'm definitely going to fluster now I've said that. I'm just thinking that next week we're gonna have to. I might have to finger poke of doom that if you bring the food and drink category back, I might just have to lie down for you because that sounds like a lot of fun.
That's what I was gonna pick.
Yeah, well, but
I expect it now. I win that many, Mark. I expect to win.
Yeah, no, I probably won't lie down actually. Anyway, we just said that Twitter can be an angry place. It can be a toxic place. Take all that anger, take all that toxicity, and rain it down on us at Dej Kirkby.
Oh God!
At Ring Counter,
for that.
At Badlands Pod. Imagine this is if you're in the UK, Love Island. This is if you're in America, Temptation Island. Any island you want. Who would you kick off our Mount Rushmore, and who would you replace it with? The greatest power couples in wrestling history. I'm sure we've missed loads because I thought there was going to just be four picks. And they both be exactly the same. And until I looked into it, there's loads out there. So tell us who we've missed, because we'd love to hear it. Follow us, let us know. And if you are going to come at us with all that anger and all your fury, then please always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.